You Can't Make It Up, show number 101 for Monday, September 20th, 2010. Hi, Ken.
Yes, our second century, so to speak.
Yeah, we're I don't know how we're going to get to a second hundred, yes. But I guess you do it one episode at a time.
Yeah.
You've been on Craigslist, right? You've seen that. What's that about?
Well, when you say I've been on Craigslist,
not the adult section, but I mean, you've had ads, you've seen ads.
Yes, thank you for clearing that up for me.
They're good for people who want to sell things, you know, you can't get rid of at a yard sale or something, because, you know. Mm-hmm. So Penny found this last week up here on Craigslist. Green wicker lawn set includes full-size couch, chair, and end table. Cousins are a little faded, but other than that, it's in good condition.
Yes.
The cousins are a little faded.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah. You know, so I guess you get a couch that doesn't have relatives, you're in better shape.
That's true, yes. Well, why bother?
They say it's very sturdy. There's a picture of it there. And it says, we used to use it in our living room until we got a, quote-unquote, real couch. Now, so they used this outdoor wicker garden lawn set in their living room, which was probably a double wide.
Yes.
We're asking $100 or best offer. And then it says, if you have any questions, please feel free to call me. His name is Corey. We could do a real service. Put his number on right here.
Yeah, let's call him.
And then it says, it's not okay to contact this poster with services or other commercial. So I guess we can't, you know, offer our advice on how to spell good.
No.
So the cousins are a little faded, you know?
Yes. Well, mine are. I don't know about yours.
That's that inbreeding that happens up here in Maine, you know?
Yeah. And elsewhere, such as.
The other odd news item that I found, and this I think there's an obit in a time warp somewhere. You know who Edwin Newman was, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Mr. Newsman and Mr. Guardian of the Language, if you
yes.
will.
Yeah, yes. Well, he passed away.
Yeah, you know,
he was 91, and the obit that came out, the obit appeared last Wednesday, September 15th. The only problem I'm having with this is he died August 13th in London.
Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, they say he spent nearly 30 years as a correspondent, anchor, and commentator at NBC, but they don't. He spent another month in limbo somewhere, and I'm wondering, you know, it's not a question of, well, we need to notify the family. It's Edwin Newman, for goodness sakes.
Yes, right,
sakes.
Yes.
Yeah. So he died a month before they decided to tell anybody. And I wonder what that apartment smells like, that flat in London.
Maybe he's fading on that couch there. How old was he?
91.
91, okay.
Yeah. And 30 days.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, you and I should get there.
You can't make this up.
The ages of a life run through the stages that me and you have shared and read the lines in our fine play. The glory of a life with you, the ages that we passed through each gave us their own signs to light our way. Our ages make a grand debut each day and I'm still loving you through ages in our time, that is to say. Young love brought us to a stage where 20 seem like our middle ages. 30's kids' life kept turning pages. Decade four and we're still engaging. Our passion play will come off stage one. David LBT's new backstage. I love you for all ages. In review, I hope that it's been good for you, cause I think it was designed to be this way. Laughter, hope, and love, they grew a sage. I am who always knew you'd be beautiful as time turned us both gray. When we reach the last refrain, I'll smile at you and say nothing's changed. I'll love you all the ages every day. Young love brought us to a stage.
That is Ironwood Rain. They are an adult contemporary, adult alternative acoustic sounding group out of Denver.
I was just going to say, it's a sound you don't hear very much in everyday. It's a good sound, acoustic. I mean, whatever happened to the fine art of acoustic?
I know. The people have forgotten how to play guitar without plugging in 10,000 volts. You know, strong traces of Crosby, Stills, Nash. They even do some Jethro Tull kind of sounding stuff. They've been compared to Train, the Eagles, Counting Crows, John Cougar Mellencamp. I don't know when he dropped the Cougar.
He wasn't a big fan of it. That was the record company's idea, by the way.
He dropped the Cougar thing after they became associated with another class of folks.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice.
Anyway, our kind of music, don't you think?
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff.
You can follow them on Twitter, Ironwood Rain, one word, the I and the R in Rain are capitalized. If you live up in Maine and you've got a wicker set for sale, we're not going to go into spelling with you because you're not going to get it anyway.
No.
Hey, I know you remember this day in history today, September 20th, 1973. Billie Jean King.
Yes.
At the peak of her career, defeated Bobby Riggs at his maximum density of his life in straight sets. And Billie Jean took home a winner-take-all $100,000. Not a whole lot of money, but a lot in 1973.
Wow.
You remember Bobby Riggs challenging her?
Yeah, I remember that whole thing. I actually watched that. I remember watching that.
I did, too. And the whole thing was a public relations scam anyway. It was just, you know.
Well, Billie Jean in straight sets is kind of a juxtaposition, but...
Well, for those of you not familiar with You Can't Make It Up, we're both named Ken, and therefore we can be found over at twokenscomedy.com. If you feel a need, if you just have this overwhelming urge to contact us after you hear this nonsense, feedback at twokenscomedy.com. We do a lot of stupid criminal stuff on this show.
So, well, we make fun of stupid all the time. Can I just say something on that, on that note? Because if I don't do it, I'll forget.
Yeah.
Because today, I wanted to say, I really feel like a new man. Totally recharged, refreshed, and cleansed. Because
just back from Sweden, are we?
No. That would defeat the purpose of what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
No, I spent the better part of the weekend, as I'm sure you know, atoning for all my misdeeds and all my transgressions of the last year. And, of course, chief among them is, well, making fun of people who are on the lower end of the intellectual food chain. So I have, at least for a little while, a clean slate, but it's about to be sullied because guess what we're going to do today?
We're going to
make fun of people on the lower end of the intellectual food chain. So
if
there
we
you
don't,
go.
We don't have a show.
Yeah, I know, but there's my dilemma. I'll be atoning for this again next year.
There are those who know you who say one day or a weekend just ain't enough.
It isn't. You can't begin.
So anyway, the other end of the long arm of the law, the cops. You've got a story about a cop, huh?
You know, well, here's the thing, and let me just put this in some sort of a context. Let me just say that if you really don't like your job, why don't you just quit? That would be my advice.
Okay, see you later. That's it for me.
Yeah. You have a job. Here's a police officer who apparently didn't like his job because he seemed to be hell-bent on getting fired. And this is over in the heartland, not Wisconsin. I'm not doing that today. This is from Iowa, Fort Madison, Iowa. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. I haven't.
Nope.
Anyway, this guy's name is William Bowker, and he had been serving on the Lee County Narcotics Task Force, but apparently he wasn't too happy with his work because while on the task force, well, he committed a number of departmental violations like sleeping on duty, drinking while on call, refusing to attend a training class on search warrants, and complaining about another training class because it conflicted with his plans for a Super Bowl party.
Well, let me guess, he's up for a promotion.
No, but you know what? He might be. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what actually happened. So anyway, he got removed from the task force. But no discipline other than that, which I thought was kind of, you know, a slap on the wrist. But that didn't stop Mr. Bowker from digging himself into a deeper hole, because then he struck up an intimate affair with the wife of the police chief.
Oh, God.
And then and only then was he fired from the police force. Now, here's the rest of the story. Despite all this, okay, now all of these transgressions were documented. In fact, he was even under departmental surveillance, so they photographed him, you know, having the affair, if you will, and all that stuff. So he was fired, and his firing was upheld by the city's, what do they call it, the Civil Service Commission. But now he's appealing the firing in court. I don't know on what grounds, but here's the dumbest thing of all. All of this idiocy that he did, a state judge has ruled that, guess what? Mr. Bowker is still entitled to unemployment benefits. What?
I think the judge was one of the people being investigated. You know, and here's the thing. I assume that little town in Iowa has a newspaper.
It certainly does, yes.
And you know they don't have proofreaders anymore.
Oh, here we go.
So the headline the next day's paper probably read, Bowker receives commendation.
Yeah, commended for. Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of headlines, I know you love this, but I don't know why this came to mind. I saw this on AOL News, or what do they call the AOL, their news service. One-legged man escapes on foot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's great. That's great writing.
That's the one I want to see the film at 11 on.
So what's happening in your world?
Well, I saw this item on Reuters. We're going to go over to Prague, Czechoslovakia. Yeah.
Yes.
Where one of the oldest con games known to travelers may be about to, as Queen would say, bite the dust.
Another one.
You know, everyone who's ever taken a cab ride in a strange city has been taken the long way home, if you know what I mean.
Well, the sightseeing, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, well, next time it happens to you, you might see it coming ahead of time. Yeah. A Czech firm, it's Et Netera, I think it's pronounced, says it has developed a weapon to eradicate the long-lasting problem of cabbies ripping you off. They've come up with a mobile phone app that uses GPS to measure the distance to your destination and calculate the proper fare for you.
Mm.
They call it Virtual Meter, and the company says everyone will be able to verify right in the taxi whether the driver's trying to rob him. Now, it doesn't say the app then takes action. It just says, now you know. What are you going to do? That person doesn't speak English. Yeah. And they're big and they're ugly and they probably have a weapon. And but what are you going to do?
And you don't speak Czech.
Anyway, some dishonest drivers in Prague, among other cities in the world, have been using turbo meters. You know, they go real fast.
Yeah.
And they charge illegally higher fares, and they take passengers via the longest routes, yada, yada. Now, they've also been in Prague refusing to produce receipts. So there's even been one case of a driver who had wired up the seats of his cab so he would, I'm not making this up, deliver an electric shock to any troublesome passengers. So here you are sitting here with your iPhone app, and you found this guy's ripping you off, and he pushes a button. It can get real ugly real fast.
But wouldn't you be conditioned to think, well, that was the iPhone shorting out?
Man. Yeah. Virtual meter. How soon before it comes to the U.S.?
Well, that settles it. I'm not going to Prague.
We got an app for that.
Yeah. Oops. Ow.
Yeah. So meanwhile, we're going to get back to crime and people who are victimized by crime, I understand.
Well, we make fun of criminals, but how about some plaudits for the victims now and then when they come up with ways to protect themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, quick-thinking victims. You got to like that. Now, you know, if some intruder breaks into your house, I imagine it's a frightening experience. It never happened to me. But, here's what one woman did over in Kansas City. Now, I don't have her name. Her name wasn't given in the story. Now, she's the victim. She's 64 years old, and I guess she was asleep in the wee hours of the morning, and she wakes up to find this guy, her neighbor, no less, standing over her, wearing nothing but a smile. Totally buck naked, standing over her bed. Now, you have to understand, this was not a pretty sight. And in fact, I have the mug shot to prove it. This guy is old, he's grizzled, he's gnarly and bald, and has a fairly long gray beard. And he's standing.
It's a good bet he doesn't have mirrors in his house, because you wouldn't go anywhere naked if you looked like that, would you?
I don't think so. So anyway, the woman wakes up to this awful sight, and so she defends herself the only way she could, by grabbing onto his beard.
Gotcha.
She grabs his beard, and she grabs the guy, and literally grabs him to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
To try to throw him out of the house. Now a little struggle ensues, but she grabs something else that was handy, like a tape measure, hit him in the head a few times. But then she finally gets him out of the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now she's kind of, you know, recovering from the shock of all. Looks around the house, and she sees the guy's clothes all over her living room. I guess that's where he disrobed. She saw his undershorts on her DVD player, so she grabs the undershorts, opens the door, and flings them out to see the guy sitting on her porch just sort of whining and moaning and all that. So the police come by, and they cart the guy away. Now, of course, surprise, surprise, police report said he had been drinking.
No, I'm shocked.
I love the fact that she got, you know, grabbed the beard.
Yeah, I'm thinking if he shows up clean shaven.
Yeah, then he's home free, if you will.
No, she's the only thing else she can. No, never mind.
No, it's not Dylan. This is a family show.
Yeah. Be glad you don't live in Tennessee.
Okay.
Because your choices this past primary season for governor.
Not the best, huh?
Had you seen the campaign ad for Basil Back to Basics Marceau?
No, I haven't.
Well, but, it's out there on YouTube. It's been seen by a few people.
Okay.
But fortunately, if you're a Republican and you live in Tennessee, this guy isn't your standard bearer in November. He didn't win the primary.
Can I ask why?
Basil Mar, you're going to hear why. You're going to hear in his own words. He's the man who wants to fine you if you won't carry a gun.
Oh.
He proposes, his platform does, to grow grass for state income in the Moonshine State.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you're not going to believe his death penalty idea. We're going to let you hear it. This was part of his TV ad. This is Basil Marceau for governor of Tennessee.
All right. Well, all this week, Channel 4 is working for you to help you make a choice in the governor's primary race.
As part of that commitment, we have given all five candidates from the two major parties time during our news to let you know where they stand in their own words about the topics of their choosing.
That's right. And the order was chosen by random drawing tonight. We hear from Basil Marceau.
I'm BasilMarceau.com, the Republican candidate for governor. I'd like to recall all permits and registration for guns. Everyone can carry guns. If you kill someone, no, you get murdered. I mean, you go to jail. And I like to plant grass or vegetation across the state with any vacant lot and sell it for gas so we can use it for our expenses. Also, I'm going to remove all gold-fringed flags from the state and apply the real flag with three stripes. I also want to stop traffic stops, set it up like the Supreme Court ruled in Noel versus Iowa. You can't find an innocent car, you can't look. I want you all to vote for Basil Marceau. I want you to say to pledge allegiance to a republic in the morning when you come out. And we all pray to God and say amen. And everyone have a nice day. And I see you all at the polls. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thanks a lot, Paige.
He sounds like he has one tooth.
Yeah, he actually does. He was one of several Republicans running for the gubernatorial nod in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McWhirter, the Democrat running for governor, will be opposing Bill Haslam, the current mayor of Knoxville. He won the Republican race, thank goodness. Basil, guess where he finished?
Did he finish at all?
Yeah. But did you hear the way he started? This is BasilMarceau.com.
.com, yeah, I was going to say.
He's his own website. He also wants to move the Capitol building to Chattanooga because he has a friend who has an office there, and he wants to have adjoining offices. I'm not making this up. His TV ad, his full one with music and everything's out there. We'll put a link out there. You can. Thank goodness he didn't win the primary, because this is what the Republican Party has come to, I'm afraid.
In Tennessee.
By the way, where did this come from? We were tipped off by Dave F., the one You Can't Make It Up listener who just won't go away. We've tried.
The stalker.
Thank you, Dave, for sending this in.
Yeah.
Go have a life now.
No, come on. Let's be, he's trying to help us out.
Well, let's keep on the political trail here. I understand you follow a story.
I'll see your stupid gubernatorial candidate from Tennessee and raise you one from Nevada.
Ah.
And this would qualify for this week's Moment of Duh.
Yeah, it stays here, right?
It does. Yeah, in Nevada. By the way, not related to this, but apparently in Nevada, there was a big brouhaha in the state legislature over how to pronounce the name of the state. I guess some legislators decided they were tired of hearing people mispronounce it. That's wrong, apparently. Nevada is what you're supposed to say. So they tried to pass a bill to somehow institutionalize it. That's stupid. But anyway, let's get back to the governor's
race.
Well,
up here it'd be Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada. Yeah, Nevada. Yeah. Up there. Yeah. You would be in violation of the law in Nevada. Well, anyway, out there in Nevada, the state house is up for grabs, as it is in many states. And, typically candidates are running ads and accusing each other of all kinds of shortcomings and misdeeds. And some actually make a pretense out of campaigning on an issue here and there and claiming to have ways to, fix the broken economy, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's one candidate for governor who's pushing his big idea to save Nevada.
Uh-huh.
to refill the state's coffers. Now, the guy's name is Eugene Gino DeSimone.
Gino, there's a surprise.
There it is, yeah. Mm. And he is a so-called nonpartisan candidate, whatever the heck that means. Here's his idea to bring money to the state. He thinks that people who drive in and through Nevada would actually be willing to pay for the privilege of speeding. So he's come up with a plan he's calling Free Limit Plan. Here's how it works. Mm-hmm. Every vehicle would have to pass a safety inspection, and then each vehicle's information would be loaded into the state's database. Motorists then would purchase a transponder and have it installed in the car, and then they set up an account. So now, if you're in Nevada and you're running late and you want to speed, all you do is you call a special number, and they charge $25 to your credit card, and you can drive speeding all you want for the next 24 hours. He estimates that this plan would bring Nevada an additional $1 billion a year.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Yeah. State police and others have pointed out what apparently is the obvious flaw in the plan, namely that more speeders would likely kill more people.
Yeah.
Duh. I don't think this guy's getting elected. What do you think?
Duh.
Duh. Speeding for free for 24 hours. That's a good idea.
Eugene Gino.
Gino, yes.
He could be the mayor of Jersey Shore.
He could. Now, not that we're stereotyping, mind you. Yeah. Not at all. No. Gino, the situation, DeSimone.
Well, the reason he's nonpartisan, as they say, is because he comes from a big family.
Yes.
Gino does.
He's nonpartisan, but not non-paisan.
You don't want to get on the wrong side of that family of his.
No. Maybe he and that guy from Tennessee could, you know, go on a national ticket.
This is BasilMarceau.com. How are you? That's going to do it for another rousing episode of You Can't Make It Up, show number 101.
101. Yeah, we're on our way to the next rousing 100.
Seriously, though, we want to thank everybody who emailed us saying, why did you do 100? Why?
Yes, yes. Why did you intrude into our lives so many weeks?
On the way out the door, Ironwood Rain and Fly to You. We'll put a link out there so you know how to find them and their tunes. And you be well and stay safe. Don't drive in Nevada.
Yes, please. Unless, well, no, if you can afford $25, hey, go as fast as you want.
Yeah, and stay the heck out of Tennessee. It's got some crazy clowns there running for government.
And always stay clothed if you're going to, you know, go rob somebody's house.
You see what you learn by listening to this program?
We're not anything if we're not helpful. You know that.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. And it's been too long since I wrote you of our love. But last night, the moon sang to me as it hung above.
Sing along, singing La Paloma the Tribe. You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2 canscomedy.com. I'll fly to you. I'll fly to you. My love. Drive up all weather roads. Ride slow, the boxcars are faster, and the truck of that faster. Back in Burlington, it got piles off my road. So I come to you on Sunday, let nothing interfere. Been hanging around for so long, just to fly to you. And I'll fly to you. I'll fly to you. My love. The Colorado skies behind a pretty light. I can't just feel below my feet. The miles are fading fast. Sun sets and I see a smile light up inside my heart. No, I'm not the church type, but still I pray just a little thanks to God. I'll fly to you. I'll fly to you.
to you. Coming home.